In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, and instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit. Grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
Okay, second session, and this is just first session a little bit longer because we have to cover a lot of terrain, so I'll try to be as succinct as possible. In this session, we have to cover two ideas. One is principle and foundation, which I'll be talking about at the tail end of the talk. And I'd like to be talking about our method and purpose of these exercises. The exercises can be compared to a tripod. There are three parts of it. And one would be the presentation, the lecture I'll give you at 9:15 next week. And then after the lecture, starting next week, you're going to be breaking up into groups for about 20, 25 minutes. And you're going to be sharing upon how God spoke to you through one of your meditations. We have a group of facilitators who have a lot of experience, and they'll help each and every one of you to, for a couple of minutes, just tell how God spoke to you during the course of the week in one of your meditations. And the third, which is most important, is we're going to be talking about your prayer time, your prayer period, your prayer method. In other words, how to pray. And that's the very heart of the spiritual life, as well as the very heart and center of these exercises. I like to call it your holy hour. So, that being said, every day you're going to be setting aside a block of time in which you're going to be entering into dialogue with the Lord. You can call it your holy hour. You'd like to talk about the when, the where, and the how. Okay? The when, the where, and the how to carry out this most important part of our program. Start with when. There are 24 hours in the day, and to many people not trained in the spiritual life, I say an hour, they almost have a heart attack, no? But an hour is really not that much. An hour is about 6% of the day. There are 24 hours in the day. And face it, we expend a lot of time and energy in other activities that are less important. Because an hour of prayer is an hour in which you're talking to God and God is talking to you. And there's nothing more important than that except receiving Holy Communion. And your Holy Communion also depends on that. We can be captivated by things that we like. All of you have certain hobbies or likes, no? We all have to practice some type of prayer and penance and fasting. For example, I am captivated by professional baseball. I am. I have one sport and one team that I like. Last night you would be happy because the Angels beat the Yankees, okay? Yankees would have won their 100th game. That's a lot, no? They're in the Big Apple. I am captivated by the sport because I played on the university level. I know the sport very well, okay? So I can sit down and I can just, I'm almost mesmerized by it, especially if my team is winning, okay? My team is not winning, I'll turn the game off, no? And that's, you know, that's 3 to 4 hours. I purposely don't do it because you'll never see me in the confessional, and half of the talks I give, I won't give, no? But I'm saying this because all of us have certain hobbies and interests, but none are more important than your relationship with God.
Amen?
Amen. Nothing more important. And if you just step back and you look at your life, you're going to see that we waste a lot of time. We waste a lot of time. 6 days ago, my third book was officially released, okay, by 10 publishers. And basically that topic is Roadmap to Heaven. It's basically how to live a plan of life. You know? And that's part of these exercises, that we have to have a roadmap to life. These exercises serve as a roadmap to life. But we have to follow the directions, okay? So make a firm purpose that you really are going to be faithful to your prayer. One introductory comment that I'd like to give you, talk about the when, the where, and the how. Monday I had a really interesting conversation with my 88-year-old mother, okay? And among the many things that we were saying, we often talk about prayer, okay? And she said that basically she's arrived at a point where she's praying the whole day. And when I was on vacation with her, basically I was with her in her home, and my dad passed away. She's by herself now. And we both get up early. Basically spent the morning in prayer and reflection, and I spent some time in writing because I'm always writing new stuff, no? And she said to me, you know, I've always liked to pray. And to be honest with you, probably one of the greatest gifts I've ever received in my life is I always like to pray. Did you ever meet a child or a teenager that told you that?
No.
I haven't yet. I only read one, Dominic Savio, but there's only one Dominic Savio in the world, no? Most children and teenagers run away from prayer, like a plague. Okay? You got kids? You say prayer, right away they start to moan and groan, no? So I consider the fact that I always like to pray, that's huge. Huge. Usually I start off my day, most days I start my day by praying 3.5 hours. Okay? Be honest with you, no? My holy hour, the liturgy of the hours, the mass, the rosary, the chaplet, from 5:40 to 9:15, almost every morning. That's 3.5 hours, no? And sometimes we feel it's not enough. Not enough. Got to give more. Think about maybe getting up a half hour early to give the Lord, you know, instead of 3.5, give the Lord 4 hours. No? So people that say that they can't give the Lord an hour, I don't have compassion on you. I don't. No? And I'm probably busier than you are. And I'm probably busier than you are, and I'm three times your age also, okay?
You get up earlier.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm going to say you might have to get up a little bit earlier in the exercises. Probably the most useless hour of your day is the last hour, right? You're not doing anything. You're frittering around. Instead of going to bed at 10:30, go at 9:30. So you get an extra hour. Got it? It's a matter of ordering the disordered. Okay, we have to order. We have to order the disordered in our lives. We all have disorder. That's called original sin and personal sin. Order the disorder in our lives. So, okay, where I'm heading is this. As a teacher, I can teach you how to pray. Again, I can go on and on and talk about prayer. I can teach you how to pray. But I cannot give you the desire to pray. Sorry. I can teach you how to pray. Give you the desire to pray, you've got to beg the Lord. You have to beg the Holy Spirit. Beg with tears and fervor, Lord, give me the desire to pray. And if God, I mean, God wants to give it to you, but you've got to desire it. Once you're given that grace, that will radically transform your life. Which your whole life is, as the poet says, in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we live and move and have our being. Our whole life becomes a prayer, as in the case of my mother. Now, she got 9 kids and 39 grandchildren, so she's got a family of rabbits, no? Huge family, no? Yeah, but she got a contemplative heart and wants to give herself. She said, I've worked all my life with kids. Now it's time for me to dedicate myself to God and to pray for you. I like that, Mom. Keep it up. Yeah. Older widows are very lonely. She's not lonely because she's got God.
That's right.
Doesn't have to have people entertain her. God is her friend and her love. And I think probably because I have that desire, because it probably came from her. You know, a good mother, a good father transmit that to their children, right? So I hope that you have a desire to pray. It's not to say every time you pray there's going to be an emotional high. I certainly don't have that. Very rarely. That. But I know God is there present to me and He's listening to me. I know God loves me and I know that God is longing for my friendship, and that's enough. Yep. That's enough. That He wants me to be there. He loves me. He's my friend. He wants me to go deeper and deeper in friendship. I know that, and that's enough to pray. That conviction. And talking about holiness, you're only going to arrive at holiness when you have a deep prayer life. There's no way around it. I repeat, there's no way anyone is going to grow in holiness if you do not strive to have a deeper and deeper prayer life. But if you arrive at that, God's going to transform you into a saint, and you're going to be doing a lot of good because God's going to be working through you. No longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me.
Amen.
Yeah. So that's a backdrop to our mini talk on prayer. Okay, so now when are you going to pray? Okay, there are 24 hours in the day. But I strongly encourage you to pray as early as possible. And for several reasons. The first is the imitation of Christ. Mark chapter 1, you have a typical day in the life of Jesus Christ. But it starts off with this. The evangelist Mark presents Jesus as getting up way before dawn. And he was absorbed in prayer. I repeat, he got up way before dawn. And he was absorbed in prayer. I repeat, he got up good lungs. I'm a good swimmer, huh? Way before dawn. And he was absorbed in prayer. Not distracted in prayer. That's the antonym, okay? He was absorbed in prayer. Now, what does it mean way before dawn? I think 3:30. Maybe 3 o'clock? Okay, Does that mean you have to get up at 3 o'clock? No, but how about the crack of dawn? Give your first hour to God. Remember Cain and Abel? Abel gave God his first fruits, right? And Cain gave the leftovers. Is your name Canabel?
Yeah.
Okay. Is your name Canabel? Hopefully your name is Abel. I want to enable you to be an Abel, okay? Give the Lord your first fruit. Form a habit. St. Faustina Kowalska said she noticed that when she put off her prayer for later, she didn't do it, or did it poorly. Either she didn't do it or did it poorly. Don't give God your leftovers. Okay? Don't give God your trash. Give him your best. How would you like it if, you know, you went to a house and they gave you, okay, here, we leave the leftover we had in the refrigerator for the past couple months, and they're for you. No? I was going to give it to the dog, but now that you arrived, okay. Yes, don't give the leftovers to God. Let's give God the best. He deserves our best, doesn't he? Hello?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah, the very best.
Another reason is this. I believe that our spiritual life is a combat. Maybe your life is easy street, but it's not for me as a priest. I mean, life is a battle. The devil, the flesh, and the world is relentless in trying to knock us down. I see my holy hour preparing me to fight the good fight. Spiritual combat. And if I'm not praying in the beginning, I don't have God on, I mean, I have God on my side, but he's less present. He's less powerful. But if you get up and you give God your best, during the course of the day, you're able to fight the good fight and win the race. Try it. Otherwise, you find yourself fighting the good fight just by yourself. You're going to flounder and you fall flat on your face. Yeah. Okay, let's move from time to place. Fulton Sheen, maybe you've heard of him. Archbishop Fulton Sheen insisted on praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament called the Real Presence. Got a great idea. Pretty sure you're going to really like this idea. This church here, which is your home, we open up the doors at 4:45 every morning. There is space for you.
To sleep in?
No. No, to make your holy hour. Not your happy hour, but your holy hour.
Well, it could be a happy holy hour.
Happy holy hour, okay? So the doors open at 4:45. And also at 6 o'clock, we have our first Mass for you people. So you make your holy hour, you go to Mass by 6:25, you've got your holy hour and your Mass. Wow, and you're going to be a gangbuster. You're going to be a gangbuster. You're going to... Yes, but you can start at about 5 o'clock up to 6 and stay for the second Mass if you want, okay? Okay, if that's not possible, you might have to pray in the quiet of your room. You might have to do that because you can't make it that early. Okay? So create a spiritual environment so that's propitious for your contemplative life, for your prayer life. You should have an image of the Sacred Heart. You should have an image of the Immaculate Heart. You should have a prayer altar, as you're saying. Maybe a statue of St. Joseph. St. Michael. Light a couple of candles. Burn some incense, but not marijuana. Okay. So you're creating the spiritual milieu that is going to be propitious to pray. So you're ready. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who calls it the hour of power, says this: never start your holy hour without your first cup of coffee. Just remember that, okay? Otherwise, you're going to be agreeing with everything you read. It's called the yo-yo effect. Yo-yo effect? And then, in sports, it's called warm-up. If you play sports, you have to warm up. Otherwise, you're going to pull a muscle or maybe pull a hamstring and then you're out for 2 months, huh? We have to warm up for our spiritual exercises. So you got your images there, you got your candles, you got your incense, and you start by the sign of the cross. Then you say the Hail Mary. Invite Mary to be with you and to pray for you. Then you pray to the retreat master, and it's not Father Broom, but the Holy Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba, Father. Daddy, Abba, Father. Always ask the Holy Spirit to help you. He's our principal teacher. He is the master of the interior life. He's the master. Then we're going to be giving you a handout, which you're not going to be doing your novena and your litanies and your other prayers. Do that apart from your holy hour. A lot of people say, what do I do? Well, we're going to be giving you guidelines. With that, I suggest a method. Ignatius gives it what's called the three powers of the soul, but lately I've been really captivated by something that Pope Benedict XVI wrote in his encyclical Domino, Verbum Domini, which is on the Bible, in which he's got a number on what is called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina. And if you Google in Catholic, you might even do the Google in Catholic Exchange, and you'll have an article written by Father Ed Broom on Lectio Divina this week, okay? So you can even go in, you can read it electronically. I publish an article, Catholic, every week for about the past 5 years, okay? So you can actually read that, and that'll give you some ideas as a backdrop as to a method of your prayer. I would summarize it in five words. Lectio, meditatio, contemplatio, oratio, y actio. How's your Latin?
What's the last one in English?
I'll go through all of them. Lectio means to read. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Not listen, O Lord, for your servant is speaking, okay? Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. So by your reading, God is speaking to you. Yeah, God is speaking to you. How privileged you are that God wants to speak to you. God spoiled children.
Yes, we are.
Yes. Then meditatio means meditate. You got to use your mind. And as your friend Aristotle or Thomas Aquinas, they're probably two of your good friends, right? Says that our mind has basically three faculties: memory, understanding, and imagination. Yep. I never thought about that, huh? Use your memory. Read the text. Understanding. Try to understand what is the message. And imagination brings us to contemplatio. Try to imagine you're present to the scene. And you're there in the boat with the apostles, and Jesus is walking on the water. And they cry out, "A ghost! Get a hold of yourself, it is I." And Peter starts to walk. And he starts to walk on the water. And then what happens? He sees maybe this huge wave. And he panics and says, "Lord, save me." And the Lord, man of little faith, he grabs his hand. And he's able to walk in the boat and cross it to the shore. Imagine that you're present there. You're Peter. Or you're in the boat. You're watching Jesus. You're becoming part of the scene. This is called Ignatian contemplation. We have to use our faculties, use the gifts that God has given to us to pray. Contemplatio. Imagine, utilize your... We all have an imagination. Either we use it for good or for bad, right? Most people use it for bad, right? We want to use it for good. And then you have oración. Spanish oración, right? Oración means what? Prayer. Talk to God. He's talked to you. Now you talk to him. Otherwise, it's a monologue, right? A monologue is we're like a parakeet, huh? Probably want a cracker, huh? We want to make sure that God is speaking to us. When we speak to God, that's prayer. Mutual conversation. Teresa of Avila says that prayer is simply two friends sitting down and spending time talking together. Teresa of Avila. That's Teresa of Avila. Namaste amistad. Tratar de amistad pasan mucho tiempo a solo con aquel que yo se me ama. If you speak Spanish, right? Talking with your best friend, spending a lot of time with a friend that I know really loves me. Talk. And the beauty is this, how humble God is. God never gets tired of listening to us. We get tired of listening to people, and they get tired of listening to us. But God never gets tired of listening to us. If you're speaking to him 2 hours, he'll say, "I'm glad you're just warming up. Give me another 2 hours." He never gets tired. You talk to him. Talk to him about everything that's related to that biblical passage. Open up your heart and just pour your heart forth. As St. Peter says, he says, "Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you." St. Peter. Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And then you have what's called axio. Axio. Axio means you're going from prayer to action. Put your prayer life into your life. Don't live a dichotomy in which you're separated. Rather, your prayer life has to imbue and permeate your whole existence. It should influence who you are and what you're doing, right? John Paul II says, our doing flows from being, okay? What we do flows from who we are. You're filled with God and you're bringing God to others. And the net result of that, lectio, meditatio, contemplatio, oratio, actio, the net result of that is transformatio. Transformation, which means transformation in Christ. No longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. There we have it. And then when you finish your prayer period, then give yourself 5 minutes to do the revision. You write down how God spoke to you in that prayer period. What did God say to you? What were the lights? What were the inspirations? What were the insights that God gave to you? And then when you come next week, you're going to be breaking into a group of about 10, and you're going to be sharing how God spoke to you. You're going to be enriching them, and they're going to be enriching you. You're going to be leaving filled with a lot of beautiful insights that God has given to your other companions. Amen?
Amen.
And finally, principle and foundation. What is principle and foundation? Moving from prayer to our first consideration, we have to know why we are here, who we are, where we're heading, and how to get there. Okay? Who we are, why we're here, where we're heading, and how to get there. So principle and foundation is a philosophical, theological consideration which gives us the reason for our existence. Every person has a philosophy of life, but most have a wrong philosophy of life. Ignatius gives us the right philosophy of life, and it's this. We are created by God out of love to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that to save our soul. That's why we're here. We're here to praise God. We're here to reverence God. We're here to serve God. And by means of that, to save our immortal soul. You're going to be reading and meditating upon that every day this week. And hopefully it's going to be sinking into you through a process of spiritual osmosis.
Amen.
Through spiritual osmosis, it can be sinking into you, the very fiber of your being, such that everything you do in your life is going to be motivated by this principle. How many parents here? Okay, now when you're making actions for your children, is this going to get my children to heaven? If you do the exercise well, that's always going to be in the back of your mind. You got kids. Okay, where are they going to go to college? This is going to get them to heaven. Or, for example, their spouse. On Relevant Radio today, Patrick Madrid had a very interesting... he said that this guy called him years ago, and he was in love with this Presbyterian girl, and... The guy said, I mean, I'm in love with this Presbyterian girl, but her father can't stand me. And he asked Patrick Madrid, what should I do? And Patrick Madrid, using a lot of tact, said, well, the father's right. You should probably leave her. The guy was shocked.
Right?
And the guy called back, I guess a year or two later, and said, I thank you very much because I left her. Now I'm in love with this beautiful Catholic girl, and I'm going to marry her in the church.
Yay.
That's principle and foundation. Because marrying the Presbyterian is not going to work. She could be the beauty queen of Scotland, but it's still not going to work. Because it's a different religion, no? Okay, send your daughter to Harvard or Cerritos Community College. There's a little difference there, right? At least intellectually, right? Who knows? Maybe for better to get an AA as a barber than she becomes an electronic engineer from Harvard and loses her soul. You got me?
Yes.
All of these things have to come into play. Now the principle of foundation, it has to change your whole way of thinking. I'll give you an example. Why is it that my little brother spent 11 months in New Hampshire building a Catholic school almost all by himself? He's got 8 kids. What's happening in the school system now? You probably know today, many are in strike because they don't want that pornography shoved down the throat of their kindergarten kids. Sorry for my bluntness, but that's what they're doing. I'm the most blunt preacher and teacher in the world, but they're shoving pornography down the throat of kids that are 5, 6, or 7. It's terrible. And most of the parents, I deal with a lot of Hispanics, they're not even aware of it until I blow the horn. Well, what I do if I'm not a biological parent. I know what I would do. Put them in Catholic school or homeschooling. Hello? That's why my little brother, he built a Catholic school in 11 months in the most secular state in the country. How on earth could my brother do it? Well, he's intelligent. He's got a little bit of money. He's got a very keen business sense. He knows how to deal with people, but he's thinking, he's got a little daughter that's 3 years old. I'm her godfather. Huh? The other kids, they have to go to elementary school. He doesn't want to throw his kids to the dogs. Is he an expert in nation spirituality like his older brother me? No, but he knows what it is. He's got sense. Okay, you're going on a vacation. Some relatives come from Mexico or the Philippines. Well, I think maybe we'll show them around. We'll take them to Las Vegas. Okay, yeah? Well, they have a right to get to know America, no? Is that going to help them to get to heaven?
No.
On the way back, you're driving, and after seeing some really lewd stuff, and you get in a car accident, all of you end up in hell. That's principle and foundation. I mean, when I was on vacation working with Mary, I basically wrote a new book on principle and foundation. I hope the TAN will take it and publish it. I wrote 25 chapters, okay? Each chapter about 4 pages. No, it's not going to be long, but principle and foundation, I'm going through, I could go on and on and on and on and on, hours on this. Dealing with Hispanics, I spent 3 months just on principle and foundation. 3 months just on principle and foundation, because it's so important. And it's this, praising God, we've got to get to heaven. Poisoning the minds of little children, they're on the highway to hell, even though they're 6 years old. You're going to force your daughter to think that she's a boy. It's terrible, isn't it? Teach your first grade, second grader how to masturbate. That's terrible, isn't it? You shouldn't even be talking to a child about sex when he's in first and second grade. You're taking away his innocence.
That's right.
You know, and as an educator, I'm angry. I'm really angry. There's a real anger because I love your children, and I deal with so many children and teenagers. In catechism tonight, I've got about 40 kids in confirmation. Huge numbers. They got their parents. Their parents, they don't know what's going on. They don't know English. I told them yesterday, the day before, barely any of them were aware of what's going on. And yesterday there was a really good meeting in Downey where a lot of good mothers came together to see what is going to be our game plan. So what I'm trying to do is, principle and foundation is going to influence your whole way of thinking and acting. You thought maybe these exercises, again, the pie in the sky, theoretical theology. There is a theology, but it's very practical. Very down to earth. Very down to earth. And as Ignatius said to Francis, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The Bible says the devil knows that his time is short. The devil wants us to die in mortal sin, that we're in hell for all eternity. He knows that, more than us. And he works overtime to try to convince us that our life is made just to have fun and live it up and commit a lot of sins, and God is merciful, God is good, God doesn't really care, He's going to allow us to come into heaven irrespective of what we do. That is the essence of stupidity. We're going to be judged on all of our actions, good or evil. So allow principle and foundation to really permeate your whole being so that all of your actions are motivated by praising God and getting to heaven. And getting your children to heaven, come hell or high water, get them into heaven. Got to get him into heaven. And first and foremost, he's going to become coming through prayer, but you have to be convicted of principle and foundation. Every week, I'm going to be repeating it in one way or another, so that at least at the end of this course, all of you will know what principle and foundation is. Maybe you won't have it memorized, but you'll understand the basic concept. You're motivated, I'm going to get my kids into heaven. I'm going to do all I possibly can. I'm going to fight for the salvation of their souls. I'm going to fight with them. Fight for them, fight with them to get them into heaven. Let's work and fight in this world and we can rest forever in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Life is short.
That's true.
Now is the time to work and to suffer, carry the cross. Then for all eternity, we can rest in the arms of Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph for all eternity. Principle and foundation also is related to the proper use of creation. Everything that God created is good. We can either use it or we can abuse it. Everything you mentioned, I can tell you how I can use it or abuse it. You can eat a hamburger, but you can eat 15 hamburgers after the class, okay? Don't do it, okay? You can use a hammer to pound a nail or pound someone over the head. No, don't do that, okay? So everything that you have should be used for the honor and glory of God and to get to heaven. Use everything as a means, a bridge by which you can arrive from temporal life to eternal life. Everything that we use should be like a rung on the ladder to heaven. So everything that God created is good. But because of original sin, sometimes we abuse it more than use it. And the last concept of principle and foundation is called holy indifference. That does not mean apathy or the young people, the young generation, the millennials, whatever. Que me importa? No, it's not that, okay? But holy indifference means this. You want God's will. You really want to discern what is God's will and try to conform your will to the will of God, such that you do not prefer a long life over a short life. You don't prefer health over sickness. You don't prefer riches over poverty. You don't prefer honors over humiliations. But you prefer and choose what is most conducive for the end for which you were created, which is the honor and glory of God and the salvation of souls. That's principle and foundation. And you're always motivated by the AMDG of Ignatius, Ad Majorem Dei Gloriam, which is English for you're motivated by the Magis, your desire to give God the greatest honor and glory possible. Amen?
Amen.
So, I'm going to be praying for all of you that you all become great saints, and these are going to be the best 10 weeks in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So I promise I'm going to be giving you the blessing in honor of St. Ignatius with the first class relic. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
The intercession of St. Ignatius of Loyola. May God bless you in these exercises, that you have a real hunger and thirst for God, a desire for holiness, and to be faithful to these holy hours so you become the great saints that God is calling you through the intercession of St. Ignatius. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week, Father. Thank you, Father.
So don't go yet.